greater connectivity benefits the greater good. And Qualcomm invented 5G breakthroughs that make it possible. See us where 5G is taking on some of the world's biggest challenges. Join us in making the world more connected with 5G.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 11th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. TikTok is home to millions of fun and silly videos. But since Russia invaded Ukraine, users' feeds have been flooded with videos about the war. So how are TikTok and its Chinese parent company ByteDance dealing with this new type of content? On today's show, reporter Aliza Lin, who covers Asia tech for The Wall Street Journal, joins us to discuss the decisions being made inside the company and the geopolitical tightrope it's walking. That's after these headlines. The European Union's efforts to cut off Russian state media include search engine results and social media posts, not just television and online video feeds. That's according to an email from the European authorities that Google said it made public as part of a long-standing practice of publicly posting requests for removals. The sanctions on Russian state media channels RT and Sputnik aim to block what EU officials say is Kremlin war propaganda. A spokesman for the European Commission said the ban applies regardless of distribution channels, and that includes internet service providers. Adding to the growing list of companies suspending sales in Russia, Sony says it'll stop selling its PlayStation gaming system and software in the country. Another video gaming giant, Nintendo, says it'll suspend shipping all its products to Russia for the foreseeable future. Nintendo also delayed the release of its military-style video game, Advanced Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp, citing recent world events. The European Union Organization for Nuclear Research, better known as CERN, says it's pausing new scientific collaborations with Russia. The group, one of the biggest and longest-running international scientific collaborations, issued a statement this week condemning the invasion. CERN also has suspended Russia's observer status in the organization, but says it'll allow Russian scientists already involved in research at the lab to continue their work. In other tech news, South Koreans elected a new president this week, and artificial intelligence played a role in the campaign. Former prosecutor Yoon Suk-yeol from the Conservative People Power Party won by a thin margin, helped in the campaign by an unusual new teammate, an AI version of himself. The digital twin was built with hours of audio and video that Yoon recorded himself, and his campaign deployed the avatar to answer questions from voters. The WSJ's bureau chief in Seoul, Tim Martin, says while Yoon won the election, the use of an AI deepfake has opened the door to potential risks.
Speaking with political and technology experts, this does enter a potential slippery slope. Here you have candidates saying whatever they want, whatever their campaign wants them to say. It does inject a degree of deniability for whatever these campaigns say. And one of the holdbacks of deepfakes is that the technology has not been very good. But here we have, in effect, lifelike avatars saying things that, unless you were really paying attention, could confuse you. Several of the fans of Yoon told us they thought it was real Yoon when they first saw the videos.
And we report exclusively that Peloton plans to start testing a new pricing system. Starting today, select Peloton stores in Texas, Florida, Minnesota, and Denver will offer the company's flagship stationary bike with a subscription to online classes for one monthly fee. If a customer cancels, Peloton will take the bike back with no charge. The change would move Peloton from being a seller of workout equipment to a fitness service, something its new CEO hopes can turn around the company's slower sales growth. All right, coming up, how should social media companies deal with content about and coming from a war zone? We'll discuss how TikTok is trying to figure that out after the break.
Greater connectivity benefits the greater good. And Qualcomm invented 5G breakthroughs that make it possible. See us where 5G is helping to make remote education more accessible. Join us in making the world more connected with 5G.
The As TikTok has surged in popularity over the last several years, it's had to deal with increasing challenges in moderating the content on its platform. But the war in Ukraine has exacerbated that, testing the limits of TikTok's current systems and placing the company in a precarious position between its Western users and its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. So how's it been handling these challenges? Joining us to discuss this is our Asia Tech reporter, Lisa Lin. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
Lisa, there has been a lot of misinformation and disinformation about the war in Ukraine on social media, but specifically if you're a TikTok user, what kinds of things have you seen over the past few weeks?
Yeah, we saw misinformation and disinformation on every social media platform, not just TikTok. There was misinformation and disinformation on Twitter. There was similar content on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. On TikTok, what we saw was a lot of the visual misinformation, and we saw things like instead of text-based content, you saw a lot of videos. For example, you know, old combat videos that had popped up on TikTok and claimed to show soldiers on the streets in Ukraine, or some users had leveraged the TikTok function. So when you do TikTok, you can stitch together audio and video. So some users had stitched together audio from the Lebanon 2020 explosion and matched it with like shaky visual footage that they claim shows like Ukraine. And another big one that I was seeing quite often was a flypast of a handful of jets in formation in the sky. And the video claimed to say it was Russian warplanes flying past Kiev. But in actual fact, you know, the video was taken from May of 2020, and it really just showed like a rehearsal for Russian military planes.
Do we know anything about who's behind some of the spreading of this misinformation and disinformation?
I think we can trace a lot of this misinformation to people who were just being very opportunistic during the crisis. So right now, if you looked at some of these like misleading videos, often you'd come to the profile page of the people posting these videos, and there's a link to a different website asking for like tips in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. So I think it is really people who are trying to leverage the war to either make money or just boost your following. And in terms of disinformation, I have spoken to researchers who say a lot of the disinformation is coming from state-run Russian media who are promoting like Kremlin like propaganda about Ukraine as an aggressor.
So Lisa, you've been speaking with people familiar with the matter. Seeing the influx of these kinds of posts, what steps did they tell you TikTok has been taking?
What TikTok has done now is they're holding daily meetings with like senior leaders in the company talking about how to handle the war in Ukraine and the content that's being generated from it, just to make sure that they react quickly to this. And not just that, right now, the algorithms are also trained better to identify content. So if they find content that might be suspicious, they would either hand it to an external fact checker, or the algorithm now would run the video by like an existing online database just to make sure it's not a recycled video.
But of course, there just hasn't been that much war content on TikTok in the past. So how are the platform's current moderation systems coping?
Exactly. So TikTok is a very young social media platform. It's barely 5 years old. And if you think about its beginnings, TikTok started as this place for a lot of younger users to be posting, you know, cool dancing videos or like nifty lip syncing type of short videos. So it suddenly thrust in this position where it has to handle an influx of political opinion, an influx of fake news. So this is really like the first incident where TikTok's finding itself at the forefront of guiding the narrative for a global public opinion about a huge geopolitical event. In the past, it's found itself in the spotlight when it handled political opinion over something like a US election or during the Black Lives Matters protests. But this really is, I think, the biggest content challenge for the company since its founding.
Have any of the experts you've spoken with said if there's a particular challenge for TikTok in dealing with this information, or a particular challenge in the way this kind of information spreads on a platform like TikTok?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing they pull out is the format of the app itself, like the way messages are transmitted or shown to the user. So I had one researcher tell me that the video looping of TikTok, so each time you watch a TikTok video, the video tends to loop once you get to the end. And this researcher tells me that this sort of video looping reinforces whatever message the user is getting. So it just makes TikTok a lot more effective in delivering a message. Another disinformation researcher I spoke to talked about how TikTok, which is a very popular platform in Russia, it's got 192 million users just in Eastern Europe alone. Russia has like the bulk of it. TikTok is very good for helping Russian state media like RT. In particular, he pulled out RT's editor-in-chief. He compared like the number of views she got on her videos on TikTok versus her videos on YouTube. And she had twice as many views for her videos on TikTok. Her videos just essentially went viral way more quickly and reached a lot more people using the TikTok algorithm than it did on YouTube. So these are two of like the findings that we know. And the reason why it's really difficult to moderate content on TikTok is because the format that the messages are presented is in a short video format. And researchers tell me that right now, a lot of the tools they have to analyze content in bulk are text-based. So it's easy to analyze like thousands of tweets in minutes, but to do the same for video content, it's just a lot harder. And the way like people like YouTube do it is they analyze the audio from the video, so it's they transform it into text and then they run it through the computer. But with TikTok, when you have short videos, it's just much harder to get the context in a 60-second bite versus a 60-minute video. TikTok says the company continues to respond to the war in Ukraine with increased safety and security resources that will detect emerging threats and remove harmful misinformation.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room for TikTok, and that is, as you know, it has to deal with the governments in the US and in China. Washington lawmakers have raised concerns about the platform's ties to the government in Beijing because of its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. I wonder if you know any more about their thinking on how they can handle this dynamic.
Yeah, so I think the fact that TikTok has a Chinese parent has been a huge overhang on the app since its founding, and the idea that the Chinese government could influence content on its platform. In the early days, there was an element of its Chinese-ness coming through because TikTok tended to moderate its content using rules that Chinese social media companies would moderate its content. For example, anything that mentioned Tiananmen Square or anything that went against, I would say, social norms in China, two females kissing, videos like that would have been taken down. But in the last couple of years, TikTok has been aggressively trying to distance itself from its Chinese ownership. So a lot of the content moderation decisions are taken out of Dublin, where its head of trust and safety sits, and TikTok's CEO is in Singapore. So I definitely think that, yes, this is the elephant in the room, that TikTok is owned by a Chinese parent company. But the app has been actively trying to avoid these associations.
I mean, what does TikTok say about the allegations that it's influenced at all by Beijing?
So TikTok has been very clear about this, and they've said it multiple times. They say that its CEO has full autonomy on all the operational decisions made at the app, and it's not influenced by Beijing at all.
All right, that was our Asia Tech reporter, Lisa Lin. Thanks for joining us, Lisa.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from the Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.